I'm going to have you look one more thing up in your hymnal. Please turn to page 322. Actually, 323. Excuse me. We're going to look at the third article of the Apostles' Creed today. What is the third article?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What does this mean?
I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And in this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, He will raise me up and all the dead, and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true.
Hear again the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the godly. In the name of Jesus, amen. I believe on the last day He will raise me and all the dead, and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. It is those precious words of the Catechism and those closing lines of the Apostles' Creed that today we reflect upon in our readings for All Saints' Day. A blessed All Saints' Day to you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The origins of this feast day in our church calendar go back to an ancient celebration of the martyrs, called All Martyrs' Day, which in the 8th century, Pope Gregory III expanded to include all saints, all those who had died in the faith. It is a day in the church year to reflect upon the Holy Christian Church, both the church triumphant and the church militant, and upon the fate of all mankind, those in Christ and those outside of Christ. It is both a sobering and a joy-filled day. In the ancient creeds of the church, we find that the Holy Christian Church is an article of faith. We confess in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. In the Nicene Creed, we say it even more succinctly, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. Now, why do you suppose that we say it like that? I believe. It's because the church is something that is believed by faith, but not seen. The church is seen with the eyes of faith. It is not a worldly reality. As Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. While it is certainly commendable and God-honoring to seek to build beautiful sanctuaries for the celebration of the divine service, to use precious vessels for the reception of Christ's body and blood, to sew beautiful vestments for the ministers of those sacraments, what Christ established is not an earthly kingdom with grandeur. Instead, it is a spiritual kingdom sown in weakness. It is something that is heard and believed, though not always seen. No matter how humble or how great it appears on the outside or on the inside, the church is still the church. And what is the church? That's always a good thing to reflect upon. The church is the congregation, the gathering of the saints around the word and the sacraments of Christ. In this age, the church is referred to as militant, or the church militant, for they are currently embroiled in this war that is going on in this age over souls, with Satan attacking us on all sides. But we refer to those who have died in the faith as the church triumphant, for they have been received into heaven. They have been granted the victor's crown. They have been clothed perfectly in the blood of Christ. And they await with the Lord the resurrection and the final judgment. It is the final judgment that our psalm reminds us of. Did you perhaps catch that as it turned where we were singing the praises and then we started speaking about swords and vengeance and bloodshed? Was it a little weird for you to sing those words? No? Okay. We'll talk about that later. But seriously, though, it is something that goes together. The resurrection of the flesh and the final judgment and the entrance into glory. That is what this day is about. And that's something we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks of the church year. But back to the church. I mentioned a moment ago, the church is a congregation. The church is a gathering of people around Christ. More specifically, it is a gathering of people who are bought and set apart by Christ. That is what we mean when we say you are a saint. See, in our tradition, we don't refer to saints as simply those people who have a certain amount of miracles attributed to them after their death. Instead, a saint is someone who is made holy by Jesus. Someone who has received holy baptism. Someone who confesses their sins and receives holy absolution. Someone that listens to the holy scriptures. And someone who receives the holy sacrament. See, it's really about Jesus and about what he gives you, dear Christian. That's what makes you a saint. Not anything you did, but what Christ gives to you and what he has done for you. He purchased you with his precious blood, not with gold or silver or anything of this age. And he gave for you his life. That is God's love incarnate. For by his blood, Christ has satisfied the wrath of God that stood against sin. Your sin, my sin, and Adam's sin. The sin, of course, that causes death. And it is the death of Jesus Christ, life himself, that restores to us the hope of everlasting life. For it is by Christ's death and by his resurrection that we are once more welcomed into the family of God and called sons of God, children of God, each and every one of you. Did you hear it in the epistle lesson? See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we shall see him as he is. You heard there, dear Christians, the love of God the Father for you. He welcomes back the prodigal son with open arms. He adopts the child that ran away and got into trouble, hung out with the wrong crowd. He chose the poor and the needy. He chose the meek, the crippled, and the humble. Slaves have the gospel preached to them. The lame walk, the blind see. All of this takes place in Christ's life, suffering, death, and resurrection. It is through Christ living a perfect life, being the meek one, being the poor one, being the one who is brought low for you, through his suffering and death, that you, dear Christian, receive the gifts of the kingdom of God, because you are adopted as sons of God. When Christ's blood was poured out, your sins were washed clean, and from that moment onward, you are one of those who stands clothed in the blood of Christ. With his last breath, he declared, "It is finished. Your redemption is accomplished. The moment has come. The sacrifice is made. The children have been adopted and will be raised." In a word, the church is redeemed. And at the same time, there's a tension that we experience, is there not? And St. John gets to the heart of it. He says this, "What we will be has not yet appeared." That's the tension, dear Christians, that we live with. We hear about the completed work of Christ, and yet our experience, what we feel right now, is often incomplete. Is it not? He declares us clean, and yet it doesn't always appear so. He declares us innocent, and yet we still feel guilt. He declares us saints, yet the Vatican isn't knocking down the door because of all the miracles of healing that surround you in your day-to-day life. What we will be has not yet appeared, dear Christians. But it has been promised. It is promised by the God who opened the womb of Sarah. It is promised by the God who saved Israel through the Red Sea. It is promised by the God who was incarnate in the Virgin's womb, according to the prophecy of the holy prophets. It was promised by the God who died and who on the third day rose again from the dead. In other words, it is promised by the God who keeps his promises. And so, dear Christians, we continue to confess, "I believe in the Holy Christian Church." For while right now we do not see it in full, while right now we see through a mirror darkly, we trust in the God who has promised, and we cling to his words from John 6. "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In his name, amen.